Sabbath blessings, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 25th day of August 2018. Welcome to those joining us on the phone or on the recording or on WLMR radio, and glad to have you in fellowship with us today. It's a beautiful Sabbath day, and what a joyous time to come together and worship our God in spirit and in truth. We have a very important sermon to get into today. It's the last part of this series on the Godhead versus the Trinity. And so without any further delay, let us get right into the service. Our opening song is All Creatures of Our Godhead Three. All creatures of our Godhead three, lift up your voice singing joyfully. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise Father, Son, and Spirit all. Their love and blessings do recall. Oh, praise them, oh, praise them. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, oh, praise them, alleluia. Thou rising morn in praise rejoice, delights of evening find a voice. Oh, praise them, oh, praise them. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thou flowing water, pure and clear, make music for thy gods to hear. Oh, praise them, alleluia. The plants and flowers with beauty grow. Let them their glory also show. Oh, praise them. Oh, praise them. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
And all ye men of tender heart, forgiving each other, take your part. Oh, sing ye alleluia, ye who long pain and sorrow bear. Cast on your Godhead all your care. Oh, praise them, oh, praise them. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let all things, dear Creator, bless. I'll worship them with humbleness. Oh, praise them, alleluia. Praise, praise the Godhead with loud voice. In your three God do rejoice. Oh, praise them, oh, praise them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, dear ones. And indeed, our Godhead is worthy to be praised. Well, now it's time for opening prayer. And who would like to offer that for our main church service today? Please go right ahead.
If we can all bow our heads and our hearts and kneel before the throne of God. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come boldly before the throne of grace, as families, as brethren, Father Jesus, we ask that you may be able to take us into higher ground. Open our heart soil, dear Lord, to receive the heavenly manner of such important information that we need to have. Just knowing that we have the greatest creators in the universe to be able to help us along this narrow path, we ask, dear Lord, that we may acknowledge them as each individual in their fair, Father Jesus. Help us that we may be able to come to a full understanding of this precious message, that we may understand that we are not by ourselves, that we are with someone that knows all our in and out, all our burdens and trials and tribulation, and even help us to be able to recognize that we may decrease, that they may increase. Father, forgive us for all our sins and our iniquity and our shortcoming. Help us that we may be able to recognize, dear Lord, how privileged we are to be in a place where we can receive the Word of God, meditate upon it, then later go back and study for ourselves, that it may be able to go deep into our soil and spring out, Father Jesus, that we may share also this important message that the world needs to be able to know. We thank you, dear Lord. If we have anything in our hearts that may block this message from coming deep into our heart soil, Father, we ask that you may be able to uproot it with the present truth. Help us to be able to search the scripture. Help us that we may diligently ask if these things them are so, and also stand into the ground of the truth, that we may be able to stand before anything that is coming. The truth is the only thing that gonna set us free. It's the only thing can uproot any bondage that we do have, either by tradition or any kind of teaching that was once given to us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to come boldly to the throne of grace and ask in your name that you may remove our unbelief, that you may be able to give us understanding. For without you, Father, we cannot do anything or even come to the truth. We thank you and we love you. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. This is part 8, the final part in our series on the Godhead versus the Trinity. And for these past 7 Sabbaths, we've explored into and discovered some amazing things regarding our Godhead. In part 1 of this series, we discovered that the doctrine of the Trinity, or that there is just one God manifested in 3 people or persons, actually originated in ancient Babylon, and then this Babylonian Trinity doctrine was adopted by the Catholic Church into their doctrine of faith, and then for around the next 1,000 years, this pagan papal Babylonian doctrine spread throughout all of Christianity until it became accepted by even non-Catholics and Protestants as being an integral part of their own faith and doctrinal beliefs. And we also discovered that the spiritualistic doctrine of there being only one God to the exclusion of all others, including Jesus and the Holy Spirit from being a God as well, also originated in Babylon. Now in part 2, we discovered that the Bible teaches that there is more than just one God in heaven. And in part 3, we discovered that there were at least 2 divine beings and persons in heaven who are each called a god, and that the names of these two gods are the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son. In part four, we clearly understood that the scriptures teach that the Holy Spirit himself has a mind, can settle questions, dispense gifts as needed, and directs various aspects of the work in spreading the gospel around the world. And so the Holy Spirit can think for himself and can make his own decisions. We also found out that the Holy Spirit can act for himself because he can anoint, testify or witness, lead, teach, comfort, dwell with, strive with, reprove, and instruct God's people. And we also uncovered the truth of the Bible, showing that the Holy Spirit can indeed speak for himself, and that he can also hear, guide, show, choose, calls, and send forth others into the work of spreading the gospel message around the world. In part five, we discovered that the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit himself is the one who sanctifies, cleanses, regenerates, renews, and resurrects the spiritual life of God's followers. We also found out that the Holy Spirit himself helps our infirmities, is another priestly intercessor before God other than Jesus Christ, is actually the author of the sacred scriptures himself, and can be lied to, spoken against, sinned against, tempted, and blasphemed. And we further saw that the Holy Spirit himself literally picked up servants of God's and then moved them to a completely different area so that they could spread the truth more quickly. And that the Holy Spirit is not just some shadowy essence, but that he can assume various forms, including human. So that was part five. In part six, we understood that the scriptures teach that the Holy Spirit himself is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, knows the future, is eternal, and is also called a God. So this clearly revealed that the Holy Spirit is indeed a divine person, a being, and a God other than God the Father and God the Son, thus making three divine persons and beings in the heavens. And in last week's sermon, we discovered that the verses of Ephesians 4:4-6, actually translates to mean that there are three different divine beings and gods. There is only one divine God called the Holy Spirit, and there is only one Lord God and Savior called the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is supreme in authority. And there is indeed only one God called the Father, who is supreme in divinity. That was the translation of Ephesians 4:4-6. So this means that there are three different gods in heaven who each have their own distinctive name, their own person and being, their own divine characteristics and personality, and their own particular work to do in our salvation. And also in part seven, we then amazingly learned that the heavenly beings themselves admit that there are three gods in the Godhead. And this is because the four living creatures that are depicted in Revelation 4:6-8 stated, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And then we learned that each of these words, Lord God Almighty, actually translates to mean God, but in three different ways. So this means that these four living creatures were actually saying, "Holy, holy, holy, God, God, God," because they were addressing each one of the three different holy gods who were unitedly sitting together on the same throne. So that's what we learned last Sabbath. And since we have plainly seen from many different angles that the scriptures reveal the truth that there are three different gods in the heavenly Godhead, then what possible consequences are there if we should refuse to believe and actually deny that there are indeed three gods in heaven? Or what possible consequences are there if we refuse to believe and actually deny that any one of these three divine persons and beings are indeed a God in and of themselves? And this is what we're going to discover today in part 8, the last part of this series. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1406.htm. And thank you, dear sister, for putting the link in the room. So what consequences are there, if any? When you understand that these three gods in heaven are so closely united with each other that if you were to deny just one of these three as a god in and of themselves, then you have actually denied them all. You begin to recognize the consequences. For instance, if you should firmly believe that God the Father is the only God in heaven, in doing so, you have thereby denied his word of truth that plainly declares that Jesus Christ is a God as well. And Hebrews 1 verses 8 to 9 says so. But not only have you denied the word of truth that declares Jesus Christ to be a God, but you've also denied the Holy Spirit being a God, which Acts chapter 5 verses 3 to 4 tells us. So in denying God's word of truth, you have not only denied him since he is the God of truth, but you have also denied God the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the truth, as well as denying God the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Now, if you firmly believe that Jesus Christ is not a God himself, you have actually denied him, and in doing so, you have also denied God the Father. Because if you do not have the Son, then neither do you have the Father either. And that is John 5, verse 23, 1 John 2, 23, 1 John 5, 10, and 2 John 1, 9. And in addition to this, you have also denied God the Holy Spirit, since he is Christ's representative on the earth. And you can find that in John 16, 7. Also verses 13 to 14, Romans 8, 9, Galatians 4, 6, Philippians 1, 19, and 1 Peter 1, 11. And also, if you should firmly believe that the Holy Spirit is not a God himself, then you have actually denied him, and in doing so, you have also denied God the Father, whom the Spirit represents, which is Matthew 10:20, John 15:26, Romans 8:9, 1 Peter 4:14, and 1 John 4:2. And the Holy Spirit brings the Father to us, which is John 14, verses 15 to 23. And in addition to denying God the Father because you deny the Holy Spirit is a God, then you have also denied God the Son, whom the Holy Spirit also represents, which is John 16, verse 7, also verse 13 to 14, 1 Corinthians 12:3, Galatians 4:6, Philippians 1:19, and 1 Peter 1:11. And the Holy Spirit also brings Jesus to us, which is John 14, verses 15 to 18. So I hope that you can see that if you deny either one of these three divine persons and beings as a God in and of themselves, then by doing so, you have actually denied all three. And in denying all three, by just denying one, then how could you possibly gain salvation? Whose divine power would you possibly have to keep you from the power of the devil? Now, after all of these scriptural truths which have been shared throughout these past 8 weeks, I hope that you can clearly see that the Bible plainly teaches that God is not a Trinity. But the Bible of truth completely counters this pagan, papal, Babylonian, and spiritualistic doctrine by plainly showing that the Godhead is not a Trinity of three persons making up just one God, but the Holy Scriptures declare that there are three powerful, holy, divine persons, beings, and gods in heaven. Each one of these three holy beings in heaven have an important and distinct work to perform, which is using their own godship and divine powers in union and oneness with each other in order to save fallen humanity, in order to save you and me. God the Father, united with and through God the Son, who is united with and through God the Holy Spirit, who are united with and through their true followers on the earth. Just one God could not make possible our salvation. Two gods could not make possible our salvation. It took three gods to make possible our salvation. And may each of these three gods be praised for all that they are doing to save you and me from sin and destruction. And may each of these three holy gods be praised forever and ever for giving themselves to bring humanity back from certain eternal death, so that we could be saved and personally dwell with these three loving gods for all eternity. Now, what if you discover that you are personally believing these pagan, papal, Babylonian Trinity doctrines or other spiritualistic teachings of Babylon regarding the Godhead? What does your three gods want you to do about this? And if you look at quote number two, from Ephesians 5, verses 6 through 11. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So your Godhead commands you to no longer be connected with these false doctrines of spiritualistic darkness, but instead give them up and now follow the truth. So then if you will not give them up, then this verse told us, because of these vain words, these false doctrines, the wrath of God is upon you. But more than this, you're not only to give up these false doctrines, but your Godhead also commands you to openly reprove and expose these false doctrines to be error, to be false. So you're not just to give them up yourselves, but you're also to openly expose them as being error, so that other people can wake up and then have the choice to cling to the doctrines and have the wrath of God upon them, or to give them up so that they can walk in the light as Christ is in the light. So that's if you find yourself believing the Trinity or any other spiritualistic doctrines regarding the Godhead. But now, what if you discover that you are personally associated with or are members of any groups or churches or organizations that believe in these pagan, papal, Babylonian Trinity doctrine or in any other spiritualistic teaching of Babylon regarding the Godhead? What does your three gods want you to do about this connection, this membership, this association? Well, let's see. If you look at quote number 3, in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And when does this union with God take place? Continuing, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." And when we fulfill that condition, then what will happen? Continuing, "And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." In Isaiah 52:11, "Depart ye, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her," or the unclean church, unclean woman, "be ye clean that bear the vessels," or the truths, "of the Lord." In Jeremiah 51:6, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man or woman their soul. Be not cut off in her," or the Babylonian church's, "iniquity." And in Revelation 18:4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Now please notice that these inspired verses reveal that before you can become one of God the Father's children, and before he can become your Almighty God, You must not only separate yourself from all known false and spiritualistic doctrines of Babylon and your understanding and beliefs, but you must also separate yourself from connection with all known groups, churches, and organizations of Babylon. And this separation is absolutely necessary so that you may become fully cleansed from all the darkness and corruption that's connected with Babylon and its mystery religion, and not continue to be part of Babylon yourself, so that you can avoid becoming a partaker of her sins and being punished along with her. It's only after you've fulfilled these conditions of obedience to God by separating yourself from all known error, all falsehoods and Babylonian groups, churches, and organizations, that you can be fully cleansed, and God will then become your father, and you can then become one of his children. And once you're connected with the Holy God, then you'll be able to handle and bear to others the holy vessels of truth of the Lord. So these biblical passages most solemnly reveals the truth that if you refuse to give up this pagan, papal, Babylonian trinity and spiritualistic beliefs of there being only one God, then you cannot honestly claim to be a son or daughter of Almighty God, because you have not yet fulfilled the conditions necessary for the Almighty to claim you as one of his children. You have not yet come out of Babylon. And God does not yet accept you as his child. So since the Almighty does not yet claim you because you're still connected with Babylon in beliefs or in association, then who does claim you as one of his children? It would be the one who's the real author of the pagan, papal, Babylonian trinity and spiritualistic beliefs, which is the father of lies himself, Lucifer, Satan, or the devil, the king of Babylon. I earnestly pray that each and every one listening will fully comply with these two major conditions found in God's word and separate yourself from all false doctrine as well as from all groups, churches, and organizations of Babylon, so that you'll no longer be a child of the devil, but instead may become a child of God. But this will only occur after you personally come to fully understand and truly comprehend what Christ meant when he said in John 8:32-34, which is quote number 4, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." What will the truth as it is in Jesus actually set you free from? It will set you free from bondage to all spiritualistic error and falsehoods originating from the mystery religion of Babylon. And there is bondage in believing any of the lies of the devil. Look what happened to Adam and Eve. So the truth as it is in Jesus is not just to be known, it's to be followed. And when you follow it in the grace and strength of Christ, you'll be set free from everything connected with Babylon. Because the divine power of Christ backs up the truth. And the devil cannot do anything against the divine power of our Savior. The devil's a defeated foe. In clinging to Christ by following the truth, you'll be set free. But if you don't love the truth, if you love the false doctrines of the devil or the churches that he controls, if you love darkness more than light, you'll remain in bondage. You will not be free. So, dear ones, please do not continue to cling to these pagan, papal, Babylonian, and spiritualistic errors of the Trinity. Do not continue believing that there's only one God in heaven, or that this one God literally gave birth out of his own person to a son and a spirit, thus making up a trinity of one God. Do not continue to believe that Jesus is not a God himself, or that the Holy Spirit is not a divine person and a God himself. But instead choose to be set free by following the word of Almighty God through God the Son Jesus Christ, who is the truth, to reign supreme in your life. And thus through the mighty power of God the Holy Spirit of truth, working in your mind and heart, you can be set free from everything connected with the devil and Babylon, to become free indeed. And this is my sincere hope and prayer for each one of you, dear ones. And I know that our three gods in the heavenly Godhead will make it become a reality in your life if you will just accept them, ask them, love them, and then allow them to set you free. Praise God for his holy word that has exposed the errors of the devil, that has clearly exposed Babylon and given us the directions on how to escape from bondage and be set free in Jesus Christ. Amen. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods or the Babylonian gods, which your fathers served and were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I pray you will do the same. But praise God for his word. We don't have to accept the testimony of others. We can go directly to the source for the truth. Our closing song is the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted amid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation. For the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, and its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and to prove and to make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. And God's word will stand forever, because it's the truth. And may the truth live within you so that you can stand with it forever. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for developing the plan of our salvation, and for being willing to sacrifice anything and everything in order that we might have life and not destruction. Thank you, Savior, for being willing to come down and fulfill your part in this great plan, being our sacrifice, our substitute, our surety, our righteousness, and for revealing the truth to us. And thank you, Spirit, for being willing to be poured out and to fill us in bringing us conviction, conversion, reproving us of our sins, correcting us of our misunderstandings, our wrong interpretations, and for leading and guiding us into all truth and away from all error. Thank you especially for bringing Jesus to us and planting him in our heart and mind, and then giving us the grace and the strength and the courage to open our heart's door and let Christ in. Continue to work within us that we might indeed escape from darkness and follow the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. That our love of sin may be given up and our love of truth take its place. That we may be more and more set free from the false doctrines of Babylon and from associations with Babylonians. That we might be associated with the Church of the Firstborn, with the truth, with righteousness, purity, holiness, and godly love. Thank you, Father, for accepting us in the Beloved. Thank you, Savior, for leading and guiding us in all ways, yoked together with us, hand in hand, leading us ever onward and upward. And thank you, Spirit, for giving us the divine power and grace to indeed follow the truth, no matter what we have to sacrifice to do it. For instilling in us the love of God, the love of Christ, and the love of truth. And thank you, Spirit, for your love in doing this. And we love you too. Please be with our loved ones, with our friends, with others who confess Christ, who may not understand that they're connected with the Trinity doctrine or spiritualistic beliefs of Babylon, or even associated with Babylonian churches and groups. Work upon their hearts. Prepare their hearts for the truth to shine. And Spirit, bring conviction to them and conversion, if they will allow you to work in their heart. Lead them out of Babylon, away from that pit of bondage and despair, and set their feet on the rock, Christ Jesus. Give them a love of the truth, that they might be saved and not caused to believe a lie and become damned to destruction. And thank you, Godhead, for your marvelous love and compassion to each one of us, for allowing us to see what your word of truth brings to our attention about each one of you, and for delivering us from Babylon. Continue to increase our love of the truth, that we might more and more sacrifice everything that leads away from truth, so that we can cling 100% to our Savior and have eternal life in him. Jesus, the truth, means everything. And if we lose him, we've lost everything. Thank you for helping us every step of the way. And thank you that we're one day closer to getting off of this wicked, cursed earth. What a joy it will be to see the earth created new, in holiness and righteousness without the least taint of sin. help us to get ourselves ready for that new earth and to dwell with our Godhead and all the infallen angels and inhabitants of other worlds forevermore. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God for his word of truth. I can't say it enough. It truly brings us away from Babylon. Dear ones, are there any thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, testimonies, any songs that you'd like to sing or have sung, would have us sing, requests? Please go right ahead. Well, there was a request for part one, the link for part one of the series, The Godhead versus the Trinity, and that is www.lightministries.com/ID1311.htm. Part two is the same, lightministries.com, only it's /ID1397.htm. And for those that would like the remaining ones, part three is /ID1400. Part four is ID1401. Part five is ID1403. Part six is ID1404. Part seven is ID1405. And today's was ID1406. And let's see, question, is there a link for the 33 lessons? Yes, there is. Go to our website, lightministries.com. Click on the Bible study lessons link, and then that will give you the link for all 33 Bible lessons. There's a request for the hymn. There's a land that is fairer by day. Let's see, in the sweet by and by. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessings of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer a tribute of praise. for the glorious gift of his love, and the blessings that hallow our days, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore.
Well, dear ones, I'd like to get your input. I have been more and more impressed with the thought of putting this series, The Godhead versus the Trinity, into a booklet form, because this is strictly Bible on this subject. We already have another booklet called One, Two, or Three Gods, which is mainly Spirit of Prophecy on this topic and was written basically for the Adventist mentality. But there's really nothing just for the world on this topic. And so what are your thoughts on that in putting this basic study into a booklet form, since it's nothing but Bible, in order to reach non-Adventists? What's your thoughts on that? Well, thank you so much for your thoughts, and I'll continue to pray about it, and appreciate your prayers as well. And I do see a need for it, because the majority of those who believe the Trinity are out in the world, not just among Adventists. So I do see a need, and I thank you so much for your thoughts.
I would say this is a new light. You don't even know you're believing in the Trinity when you're attending church. No one ever talks about it except the Bible, and you see other people's thoughts about the Trinity. And it doesn't go back to the beginning of it, which is very, it really makes you think about it. So I think a book on that would be really, really good.
Well, thank you, and praise the Lord. And it's really not new truth. It's very old truth, because the words that we've been looking at in the scriptures are at least 2,000 years old. So, you know, it's actually old truth, but it's just been rediscovered, I guess. So praise God for opening our eyes and understanding to comprehend this important issue more clearly. And that was actually Christ's mission when he was on the earth, is not so much to reveal new truth, but to unbury the truth that had been covered over with the rubbish of custom and tradition and preconceived ideas and opinions and Satan's falsehood. Christ just took the truth, unburied it, and then put it on a pedestal for everybody to see. And praise God that we can see more clearly. And there's other truths yet to learn. We don't know it all. There's other revelations that God can open our understanding to. But new revelations, or so-called new light, never contradicts other light. It just adds on to it. It makes it shine even brighter, because truth is always truth. It never will become error. So new light will never contradict established truths. It may contradict custom and tradition, It may contradict creeds of men, but it will never contradict God's word. And again, praise the Godhead for preserving the words of inspiration. Yeah, that's true. Individuals are stunned when you tell them that the Trinity doesn't relate to the God of heaven. They've just accepted it because it's been a doctrine held by their forefathers for centuries. But that doesn't make it truth. Amen. Another comment, it says, it's an intense study to prove the truth on a thus saith the Lord, and not a thus saith man or the church. Amen indeed. So thank you for your comments and your encouragements. I have almost decided to move forward with that project, and still praying about it, and appreciate your prayers as well. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any other songs, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Dear sisters and brothers, I'd like to share something that I read while studying Nehemiah. Coming from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. And below, they have this information, spiritual information, that went under the title of Understanding the Reason for Prayer. I found it quite rewarding, and I shared it with my daughters 2 Sabbaths ago, I'd like to share it with all my brothers and sisters in the chapel. There's 7 points, and you start with number 1. We pray not to get what we want, but to find out what he wants. 2, we pray not to get him to change his mind, but to have our minds change. 3, we pray not to have him change his plans for us, but to ask him to help us willingly to accept his plans. 4, we pray not primarily to avoid pain, but for strength to bear it. 5, we pray not to be taken out of the world, but to be kept faithful while in it. 6, we pray not to escape hardships or trials, but for wisdom to know how to do it and how to do it well. 7, we pray first and last because we love him who has so loved us, because we treasure his fellowship and that of all the saints. I found it quite beautiful, quite rewarding, and an insight to help us and give us wonderful thoughts when we pray. I thank you all for listening.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother, for sharing your insights there. And would you like to give that study before the whole home church, dear brother? Not just a synopsis, but the actual whole study there from Nehemiah 2, 1 to 20?
It's a spiritual desire, and I am all welcome to share, hoping that the Spirit give me the right vision of it all, and not my own.
Well, amen. Amen. And I would like for you to give that talk this coming Wednesday in our midweek church service. If that's possible for you to do, let me know. If not this coming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, if that would work better for you, then let me know. And I think it would be excellent for our church family. And thank you so much for your willingness to do so. Are there any other thoughts, any other questions, comments, songs, testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
The only testimony that I have today is just thanking God for giving us the opportunity that even through we were listening to the sermon and getting a rich understanding of the Godhead, I was able to share with my dad something that had happened when I was in Mexico at the time, when I was over there, when we were told to come to church, especially a particular church. They used to call it Sea of Crystal, El Mar de Cristal. And I was able to explain and now even tell my father that I'm sorry that I did disobey, because I didn't want to go because of the very truth that we were listening. And I'm so glad that I was able to tell my dad why the reason I was not able to go. And I wasn't really disrespecting him, but I had to stand for truth. And this is the reason why I didn't go to the church.
I like to sing an old song that I haven't sung for a long time. And it is called All That I Have. All that I have, also all that I have, to hold in my hand, the pearl. Nothing I had can compare with the price when I hold in my hand, the pearl. Brighter than sun, clearer than glass, dearer than gold, the pearl. Kingdom of God, it's the kingdom of God. It's life with my Lord, the pearl. All that I had in ashes is earth, now that I've seen the pearl. And I will not rest, I cannot be content, till at last it is mine, forever to shine, the kingdom of God, the pearl. Let me gather everything I own, all that this dreary world I've known, pleasures and possessions now I bring, trade them for one single shining thing. All that I have in ashes is earth, now that I've seen the pearl. And I will not rest, I cannot be content, till at last it is mine, forever to shine, the kingdom of God, the pearl.
May God bless you, dear ones, with a wonderful remaining Sabbath, those on the other side of the world with a wonderful new week, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. Until then, keep looking up. Keep growing in grace. Keep becoming more and more free in the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, that you may be free indeed. And I'd like to leave you with this hymn. I pray to bring a smile to your face. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And you will be happy when you see what God has done, is doing, and know that he will do for you. So may God bless, dear ones.